Quasi-Cerebral Talk and Tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You're tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. We are the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on unceded stolen lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem First Nations. This episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on unceded stolen lands of the Catesy, Kwikwetlem, and Stolo First Nations. And at Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands, and we thank them for their stewardship. My name is Leslie, and we are celebrating Earth Month this week on Typically Tuesdays. Hopefully you can hear a little bit about what is happening in the background right now. Hopefully my voice is not just dominating the entire recording. But today I'm taking you on a small walk at a local park, and we're going to be listening to some music. We're going to be talking a bit about awareness around sustainability and eco-justice, and very excitedly, I just saw a hummingbird. I think I saw an Anna's hummingbird in the tree in front of me. Obviously, if I'm going to be out in nature, ooh, I think that's it again there. Obviously, I'm going to be bird watching as well as enjoying the beauty of the plants and the bugs and the grasses and all of the other little creatures around me. Ooh, I think that's a bush tit. No, that's a black-capped chickadee. I'm not wearing my glasses. Anyways, let's get on with the show. On the playlist today, music about nature. Not exactly, though. As is with Typically Tuesday's fashion, we try to go for the as best as we can. And so you're going to hear tracks that are incredibly shallow, that kind of mention nature, such as a J-pop anime idol group called Printemps, which means spring in French, of course. And it's as shallow as that, and it's also as deep as something generally more connected to questions and issues around the land. Ooh, big crow. Such as a Black Belt Eagle Scout, who we'll be hearing from later on this hour, and also from Kemi Day, who is an artist and musician from Argentina. They put out quite a few albums that have to do with nature. Their most recent album, released in 2024, called Echoes of a Little Natural Journey, follows this story of small creatures roaming around somewhere. But their debut album from 2023 is called Music for Bugs, and we're going to be playing a track right off of that. Here is Spiny Spider by Kemi Day, here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM.
Thank you. This is Bird Note. In the environmental movement, no single figure stands taller than Rachel Carson. Her work on DDT helped spark an environmental awakening in the 1960s. Some consider Rachel Carson the finest nature writer of the 20th century. In addition to Silent Spring, books such as The Sea Around Us and Under the Sea Wind are evidence of her exquisite literary talent. Carson herself had inspiration from a 19th century writer named Richard Jefferies. His prose poems, like The Pageant of Summer, reveal a profound immersion in nature and a joyful sense of discovery. His work helped Carson develop and write about her own deep sense of connection with the natural world. Here's Jefferies on Summer. Every blade of grass, each leaf, each separate floret and petal is an inscription speaking of hope. Consider the grasses and the oaks, the swallows, the sweet blue butterfly. They are one and all a sign and token, showing before our eyes earth made into life. So that my hope becomes as broad as the horizon afar, reiterated by every leaf, sung on every bough, reflected in the gleam of every flower. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann. Bird Note's newsletter delivers the wonder and joy of birds directly to your inbox. Sign up at birdnote.org to get a weekly preview of our shows, stories, photos, and more.
Thank you.
Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. You just heard Chinese American Bear with All the People. Before that, you heard Nobody by Black Belt Eagle Scout. I'm Leslie, and I have finally arrived at a local park. I am here today at Blakeburn Lagoon, recording on my phone as though I am a wild person. But thank God people are doing voice notes more these days, and I don't look totally out of place. One of the issues about bringing you out to the park today and also putting together a show is that, of course, I want to do this, you know, like, kind of like in actuality, while it's happening, right? And it's a great day to be doing that. Let me describe some of the conditions that we are in today. It is Saturday, April, I want to say 16th, late morning, and it is partly cloudy. The sun is shining very, very bright on the lagoon, and all around me is green from the shrubs and trees out here. It is green because of the view of a local mountain. It is blue because of the wide open sky. And it's awesome. There are not a whole lot of people out here quite yet. These are ideal, one, birding conditions, two, community radio recording conditions. Part of the issue about doing this recording today and bringing you out here with me to the lagoon is that me being a birder, let this plane pass, hold on. Part of the issue here is that every time I go to pick up my phone to try to record something, I end up getting distracted because bird. And there's that bird that I wanted to know. I feel like maybe it's a widgeon. Maybe. There's something within me that feels... Whoa. That's a geese. That's a Canadian geese. A Canadian geese just flew right above me. It did like a quick turn and landed with a splash right on the lagoon. That was so graceful and so cool. But yeah, again, one of the issues about recording this episode at a park as a birder is that I'm getting very, very distracted. And I'm just trying to identify birds and look at them. And it is a great day for birds. Can you hear them? Hopefully you kind of can. Let me talk a little bit about the birds that I've seen so far today. Here on my trip, I saw an American robin. I've seen some European starlings, which actually are an invasive species here in Vancouver, but we support birds here on Typically Tuesdays. We do not support the colonizers that brought them here and left them here for them to fend for themselves and for them to be hated on by anti-starling people. We have here out on the lagoon, mallards, of course, Canadian geese, of course. I wonder if you can hear the mallards right now. And there, I spotted some American widgeons. I'm pretty sure I'm seeing some greater scoups just right out here on the water, in the bushes and the trees around me. I think I saw a cedar waxwing. I really want to hope and say that I saw a cedar waxwing. I think I might have misidentified a bird. And then American crows, obviously. But also a bird that I have never seen before. And oh, that was beautiful. Also I saw black-capped chickadees, also super common, love those little critters, and bush tits. I saw bush tits. But one of the birds that I saw right out here in the trees, right by the lagoon, is one that I've never seen before, and I believe it was a yellow-rumped warbler. According to Merlin Sound ID, that's what it was. When I looked at the photos on Merlin, on the Merlin Birding app, that's what it appeared to be. I know there are certain... Many of the warblers of the yellow variety are very difficult to distinguish from one another. But I want to say... Regardless of which specific type of warbler it was, I'm just excited to have been able to see quite a few out here, because I don't think I've ever actually been able to see or really identify any warbler at all, at least consciously. Let's see what else we got here. I think that's a widgeon. Oh, also tree swallows, of course. Oftentimes, right around a body of water, a small body of water, where there are lower trees and dense bushes, you will often also find tree swallows hanging out just around the water, just around the trees as well. And those were a delight to see today. You know, one of the questions I wanted to pose to you, listener, as I'm enjoying my time here out in nature, is what is your first memory of becoming kind of conscious about your relationship with the earth and your relationship with the land? I think I sort of remember mine. I had always loved animals as a child. I was definitely one of those kids, and I think this is pretty common, right? But I was one of those children who, like, loved dinosaurs and loved nature. A lot of the the books that I was reading, the television shows I was watching, all had something to do with some aspect of animals. I grew up on Zabumafu and the nature of things, Kratz creatures, and just in general, like a lot of like children's media, just features animals, right? I spent the first quite a few years of my life thinking that I would become either a zoologist or a paleontologist. But around the time when I entered kindergarten, there was a really big shift in consciousness. Mallard. And I don't know if I don't know to what degree it was good or bad, because it instilled in me, you know, a sense of responsibility to do what I can to protect the earth. So what had happened was, this was around the time that I was learning to read English. I was learning to read in general, but also around the time when my mother was learning in English. And one of the things that we would do together is she would read me picture books. I loved all kinds of picture books, but there was just this one, and I think it was the very first one that we borrowed from the elementary school library. I don't remember what the book is called now, but it was all about Mother Earth. It was all about what we owe. Oh, Song Sparrow. What we owe to the Earth. And it was the first time that I had ever heard the... It was the first time I had ever heard the term Mother Earth. Did you hear that song, Sparrow? Let's see if it'll sing for us again. Beautiful. It was the first time I had ever heard the term Mother Earth. And it was all about essentially how the earth is like perfect and beautiful, and human activity is creating devastation towards all life on earth. It focused mainly on plants and animals. I think mostly on animals, actually. But it was an eye-opener, and it made me very, very conscious about my relationship to this world, what I could be doing to help continue to sustain it. And at the same time, this is no fault of my mom's. She just saw the animals and thought that I would like it. She just saw the animals on the cover and thought that I would like it. But it also instilled in me a deep existential dread and pain that I've been having to navigate and deal with for the past, you know, many decades that I have been a living, breathing human being. But possibly you could say, you know, you could argue in some sense that it was for a good cause. So that's kind of like my first memory of really being conscious of my relationship to this planet and to the land and this world. I wonder what yours was. You can share it with me if you want, typicallytuesdays@gmail.com. Please send me bird photos. Please send me pictures of cool plants. But also, you also don't have to share anything with me. Just think about it, you know. what makes you want to help protect? Ooh, that bird's diving. What is that? Maybe that's a northern flicker. I feel like it's a flicker. I feel like I saw the signature flicker feathers. Anyways, while I figure out this bird, maybe you can also think about what your first memory was of you being conscious that you are, in fact, a person of this earth and also have some kind of responsibility in taking care of it. Ooh, deep existential questions here on Typically Tuesdays. Hey, let's listen to some music while we do that, actually. Here is Bon Enfant with Ménage du Printemps. Enjoy.
Old-fashioned. So let's bring her story up to date. Everyone knows Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty. They're Disney stories, right? Not exactly. 3 centuries before they helped make Disney famous, they were among the original Mother Goose tales. And hundreds of classic nursery rhymes, like Three Blind Mice and Humpty Dumpty, were also first gathered under Mother Goose's wing. Such stories and rhymes were long part of Europe's oral folklore. The stories were first published in France in 1697 as Tales of My Mother Goose. The book appeared in English soon after. Just who or what was Mother Goose? The name originates in an old French euphemism. Stories told by elder women were called tales told by Mother Goose. Mother Goose was sometimes illustrated as an old country woman wearing a tall hat and riding on the back of a goose. Or sometimes as just a big motherly goose wearing reading glasses and a bonnet, a friendly figure children could trust. There's something timeless about big feathery friends for children, even today. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein. This episode is brought to you by Wild Delight Bird Food, which aims to support wild bird populations with clean, nutritious ingredients in every blend. Available at Chewy.com.
Thank you.
what you are hearing here is a red-winged blackbird right here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. In terms of music, well, okay, hey, I'm Leslie. Music-wise, you had just heard 1,000 Trees by Beached Out. Before that, you heard Asfor by Tut Ard, which means a bird. And I think I'm just gonna stand right underneath this red-winged blackbird for a little bit and see how that goes. There were quite a few of them. Oh, mallard. There were quite a few of them on this tree a few minutes ago, like three or four of them just chattering away at each other. But this lone female one has decided to stay. And this is a bird that I really don't get to see very often super up close. They're always zooming right before my eyes. So this is kind of a treat. And she's just, wow, she's just gorgeous. Oh, she pooped a little bit. Okay. The wonders of nature. You know, sometimes being at Blakeburn Lagoon, which is where I'm at right now, I feel kind of conflicted because, of course, it's great that there is this kind of like local body of water here where there can be such beautiful birds and plants and critters and bugs roaming around here. And even bears will sometimes like hit up this place, but I can't help but to feel a little bit conflicted. Not necessarily because it's a man-made nature area, but because it actually it sits right in between a pretty busy residential area and a freaking golf course. I don't know, I guess maybe the city was trying to make up for the fact that there is a freaking golf course out here. In the middle of beautiful, otherwise covered in nature, Port Coquitlam. I have returned to the studio for this final bit of Typically Tuesdays today because as great as it was to record the episode amongst the birds and the trees and blanketed underneath the beautiful, beautiful bright blue sky, it sort of became awkward and embarrassing to be talking to myself as more people were starting to walk the trail. Didn't want to do that, and so now I've returned to my home, and hopefully I am still able to capture some bird noises because we do have a few trees outside of the house, and it is spring migration. These birds are chirp, chirp, chirping away every single day, and what a joy. But as I wrap up today's episode of the show, you know, so many things just propel me to want to become more conscious around what I can do to support sustainable efforts for nature and the earth. One of those things, of course, being the fact that a lot of political and social issues are really entangled with climate issues as well. On one part of the equation, there's obviously the ways that capitalism, imperialism, tech wars, colonialism, resource extraction impact the environment, but then also there is further complexity with the ways that climate issues impact migration, impact displacement of people from their lands and their homes, resource extraction and forms of neocolonialism and imperialism have contributed significantly and horrifically issues around gender-based violence, particularly sexual violence against women and girls in many parts of the world. For example, the movement by indigenous communities to bring awareness to missing and murdered indigenous women and girls and Two-Spirit people has shown us that there seems to be a really disturbing relationship between how resource extraction by international and otherwise Canadian settler corporations on Indigenous lands have brought in an influx of workers who develop predatory relationships with local women and girls. Similarly, on the international stage, Canada has contributed a lot to, again, also the extraction of resources such as coltan from the Democratic Republic of Congo, which has fueled political corruption and instability in many areas of the country, but also Canada's involvement in that industry has also enabled for there to be essentially systems built in which child labor becomes a part of the work that goes into extracting those resources. And very similarly, again, there also are questions and concerns around the increase of sexual violence against women and girls and others in areas where there is a lot of that type of resource extraction work being done in DRC. At the same time, because of this devastation towards the lands and the earth and obviously the social and political uncertainties and calamities happening in those communities, there are lots of refugees who come from DRC who want to settle in Canada. And as much as Canada might be willing to accept these refugees, we also need to raise questions, I think, about the ways in which the Canadian immigration and refugee system has shifted over the course of the past month, to allow for the government to retroactively, or whenever it wants to, mass cancel visa and status applications of entire communities whenever it wants to, through the so-called Canadian Strong Borders Act. So these are just some of the examples, which I don't necessarily feel like I have time to like elaborate on every single thing, but these are just some of the examples that, you know, show to us that questions around sustainability, taking care of the earth, are fundamentally also about human rights, because they are so entangled with life, period. Maybe as I wrap up the show today, then the question is, what possibly is the solution for us to, you know, be better about supporting sustainable efforts to take care of the earth and to take care of life in general? I think that, one, educating yourself is super great, super important. One of the things that I have, and because of how broad the idea of like sustainability and eco-justice is, I think it's easier to start on things that are small, that are really of interest, and get bigger, right? So obviously for me, it's like birds, bugs, certain plants and so on. So I've become very interested in learning more about native plants and pollinators and trying to, you know, figure out a way in which I can plant native plants where I live so that there can be more positive natural activity happening around here. Something else that I try to do consciously is to just learn more about the things of nature that I'm interested in. So animals, plants, and so on. I listen to podcasts, I read books, I read comics, because science communication is better than it has ever been before. And of course, taking a lot of advice and learning a lot from land protectors and local indigenous communities as well, in particular, because they're really the people who hold the knowledge around how we should be taking care of the lands on which we live and what the best practices are to do so in a way that is respectful, not only to those who have lived here since time immemorial, but also to the land itself. And of course, the basic practices of recycling, reducing, reusing, and not driving everywhere where I go, being more conscious of when to turn off the tap, turn off the lights, and so on. Things that I've been doing, you know, ever since I was scarred by that book as a little child. But hey, what are some of the things that you've been doing to engage yourself in trying to understand more about the earth and your responsibility to it? And I keep saying your responsibility to it because that is the one thing that I feel I can be very firm on with regards to this issue. We all have a responsibility to the land and to the earth to take care of it for not only ourselves but also the people who will come after us and all of the other forms of life on it. What have you been doing? Let me know. You can write to me typicallytuesdays@gmail.com. You can also send me a direct message typicallytuesdays on Instagram, or if I guess if you know me personally, you can confront me. You're like, I don't like that hot take of yours. We gotta talk about it. Okay, let's do that. Whatever. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode of Typically Tuesdays. Happy Earth Month. I do hope you get to go out there and enjoy some nature in some way or another at any point, whenever you can, because this is our relationships with each other. This world, the earth, is really all that we have. So why not take care of it? One final track for you today. Thank you so much for tuning in to Typically Tuesdays today. This is, as I mentioned before, the J-pop anime idol group named Spring in French. Printemps. Printemps. This is a track called Love Marginal here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Leslie. I'll talk to you again very soon.